Welcome to the CMO Marketing Podcast, where we interview business owners, leaders, or marketing professionals to find out their lessons and stories for success.
Welcome to the CMO Marketing Podcast. This is a very special episode that we're going to jump ahead of all the other episodes just because it's so topical. NFTs are something that probably everybody's seeing in every newspaper, online, blog, absolutely everywhere. A lot of people don't understand what they are, don't understand. And if they do understand what they are, they don't necessarily understand how they're going to impact their business. So we're extremely lucky to have a gentleman from Melbourne called Riley James, who's on the show today. He's going to kind of help us answer some of those questions that I think a lot of people have out there. So welcome to the show, Riley.
Cool. Thank you, Simon. And welcome to all the listeners. Glad to be here.
Cool. Look, we're really start 101 here because NFTs are one of those challenges that, you know, some people think they know what it means, some people don't. If you're talking to the completely uneducated out there, how do you describe, how do you tell them what an NFT is?
I love this question.
I sense you've probably been asked it a few times.
Yeah, it's every single conversation that I have. Basically, the simplest way is that blockchain is a ledger, right? It's a decentralized ledger, so no one party can come and corrupt it because it's decentralized and there's hundreds or thousands of different servers that run it. So then what this ledger is typically with, or what it was originally for, was for Bitcoin, and then Bitcoin would be just a ledger of who's got what amount of Bitcoin in their wallet, right? Then this was adapted with, then it moved to Ethereum. And then Ethereum allowed us to build decentralized applications on top of that. And then we also, or the developers, came up with NFTs, which is, instead of having a ledger of how much of a particular token you have in your wallet, there is a ledger that you have a particular piece of code, which it depends if the NFT is on-chain or off-chain. If it's off-chain, it's just a piece of code to say you have this particular call to a server which pulls back a JPEG or an image or a GIF of some kind. So you have that one of a kind image, and then it pulls it off, and that will, the blockchain will ledger and decide who or track who has that particular image. So it's a JPEG. It's an image that cannot be forged and can't be like copied. You can copy and paste it, sure, but the ledger won't say that you own the original one. So then this gives us the ability to send it across to any different people. We can sell original one-of-a-time pieces of digital art, which we weren't able to do before because anybody could just copy and paste anything and then you wouldn't know the difference between the real one and the fake one.
And from what I understand, it could be a JPEG, but it could be a piece of music as well, or it could be some sort
yeah,
of...
Yeah, there could be,
Any particular file.
Yeah, exactly. Any file, yeah. Some okay. people even working on, like, if you were to architects, they yes. do these architectures, grand architect buildings, and then they can sell those as NFTs, and you can buy the entire architectural design on a blockchain marketplace.
Yeah, I'd heard someone working on that, which I thought was actually a really, really good application of the whole system. So how did you get into this? Because your background is originally fitness, isn't it? And you've kind of pivoted in the middle to fitness to blockchains and NFTs. Was that one day you thought, forget this, I'm going to go and do this instead? How did that happen?
So my original studies was mechatronic robotic engineering and international business.
Wow.
And then
okay.
so I came from a technical background and I enjoyed building tech and I really wanted to be in tech and I wanted to sell tech. That was the goal.
Yeah.
Build tech and get rich selling it, basically. And then I decided to start my own business straight out of uni. I actually left uni after 3 years. I was acing uni, hated working for the man. So I started a marketing agency and I led that for 4 years, grew it to 31 staff, and that was marketing for gyms. It's called okay. More Gym Members. And then out of that company, obviously it's quite successful and it's still running. I don't run it anymore, but it still runs. And then out of that, I started a software as a service and I built a portfolio of gyms that I own as well. And I started investing into crypto in 2017.
Right.
And then as COVID started to demolish the fitness industry, we did relatively okay comparing to most gyms, but it was still terrible. I was looking for the next big thing that I could jump on that wasn't a dying industry. It was one that was actually flourishing and something that was exciting and was back in the tech space. And then I went all in crypto. I partnered with a few different people that had done work with various governments with blockchain projects, like the government of Dubai, the government of Australia. So very high-level blockchain people, people with doctors in blockchain and developers. I partnered with a various group of people and founded DeFi Link and DeFi Wonderland. And
then explain to me those projects quickly. What are your core projects at the moment?
So what we found, Simon, was that me coming from a traditional business experience into crypto as a business person in crypto, I was like, holy shit, there is so much opportunity here to adapt this stuff that's currently reserved for the 2% who understand it, adapt it for the masses and adapt it for businesses and make it mass adopted, right? So we focus on building technology that makes it simple, clean, easy, safe, and gives you all the best yields and the best opportunities in one place into DeFi Link. So DeFi Link, we have licenses and registrations in 120 different countries to be able to exchange crypto to fiat and vice versa. And then we bridge that into DeFi Wonderland, which is a completely blockchain decentralized DAO, all run by algorithms instead of people. And the goal there is that it's called DeFi 2.0. So that means that we've got like self-repaying loans. We've got the ability to use staked collateral or staked assets as collateral to get a loan to then have them self-repaying with the yield that you earn off them. And the goal is that we're going to be adapting that to, say, the property market. So I can go and use my Ethereum, stake it in something that earns me a yield. I can buy a house with the Ethereum as the collateral, and then the yield from the Ethereum will pay off the house.
Right.
Is one use case.
Okay. That's exciting. There's, I think we're still in a stage, and, you know, by all means, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think we're still in this stage where a lot of people look at blockchain technology, NFTs, and go, they don't necessarily see the application that's in the real world, in real life. There's a lot of people still scratching their heads going, how is this going to change my life? When we all got an Apple iPhone for the first time, we kind of all immediately went, I get that this is going to make my life so much easier. There's still a lot of questions around blockchain, but the real blockchain enthusiasts out there, you know, like the people like Gary Vee that talk about NFTs till the cows come home, they believe that this is going to change the world and this is going to radicalize pretty much everything we do. Do you believe that, or do you believe it's kind of obviously there's a bit of a long way to go for adoption, but, you know, what's your kind of, you know, belief about how this is going to change the future?
It will be in everything, mate. It'll be in everything. The market cap will be more than $300 trillion. You can quote me on that in 10 years. Because everything's going to be tokenized and everything will be represented by some form of NFT or crypto and represented in a blockchain. Because it's just a distributed, decentralized trust exchange mechanism. And humans have been trading with other humans since the beginning of humans. So this will continue, but it's a much better, much more efficient, much more trusted way of doing it. So, like NFTs, there's, for anyone that's interested, they can jump on my YouTube, Riley James. There's a video on there. It's an hour of me going through applications of NFTs for business.
Okay.
So I'd recommend looking at that. But there is many different use cases in business for NFTs. Like one example, we're doing a few projects with some public listed companies. I'm not allowed to say exactly what they are because they're public and they haven't announced it yet. But
of course,
there's many different applications that these guys are starting to see that you can do. As simple as, you know, Woolworths, they have those little toys that they give away, the Ooshies. Why give away Ooshies that have these packaging and they're not really that tradable and you can't really do anything with them? They're just these little toys, plastic toys. Why not give away NFTs that are like these beautiful animated GIF NFTs that maybe eventually you can play in a game as well? You can trade them with your friends. You can put them in a little metaverse game and you can move them around and you can show them off on your phone. Why not give away NFTs instead? That's cool.
Mate, I'll tell you what, I said 3 or 4 weeks ago to somebody, I said NFTs for kids is a huge opportunity that nobody's, you know, nobody's really tapping into. And probably because, you know, kids, when they start getting mobile phones or at least mobile devices, you know, maybe 8, 9, 10 years old, all those kind of things, you know, what you don't want is them accessing your, you know, your 10 Ethereum and suddenly buying, yeah, you know, splurging 5 Ethereum on a NFT that you haven't approved. But giving kids the capacity to trade, like, you know, when I used to, you know, when I grew up, when you were trading, you know, stickers for Panini kind of football albums, and, you know, my 5.5-year-old with his ushis and those kind of things, but being able to trade those for kids on a mobile device just seems to me to be the most obvious thing out there. But you know, you've then got the challenge of going, you know, what do kids use as wallets? How do they hold them? How do they store them? How do they transfer them? What if your kid's being bullied in the playground to give up his valuable NFT? And, you know, there's a whole, I guess there's a whole world of kind of what ifs that sort of spiral out of that.
Yeah, well, those kinds of issues have always happened. It doesn't matter if I go to school with a collectible toy of some kind, true. I might still get bullied and get it stolen off me. So
yeah,
I don't think that's going to change too much there. But one of the best use cases and one of my favorites, what I'll drop for the people here, is the way that it's going to change the property market. So if you think property right now, I have to buy $500,000 worth of a house to get exposure into the property market. And if I want to sell it, I have to pay, call it $50,000 or $100,000 in fees and taxes, maybe even more than that, $200,000 in fees and taxes, and I have to wait 3 months with it on the market to be able to sell my house, to be able to cash out. It takes me like 2 months to be able to buy the place in the first time. So the property market is a very illiquid and a very high barrier to entry market, right? What projects are doing now is they're tokenizing property so that you can buy 1/10,000th of a house, and it's represented by this NFT, and the NFT holder in their wallet has the rent or the yield distributed to that NFT holder, and then you'll be able to trade this NFT on an open marketplace instantly to any buyer anywhere in the world, and then you could buy part of a house for $50, and this is going to create a very, very liquid, very easily accessible property market, which I expect will also make the price of property go up because there's going to be a lot more people entering. And it's gonna be cool, right? Why would I buy one house when I can buy 100 pieces of 100 houses across the globe? Maybe I can access them as well.
If you take that as an example, and again, this is another conversation I've had in the past few weeks, is that why would you not NFT shares in your company? Because why go through the pain of trying to get a VC to invest in your business, to get a bank loan? You know, why not turn 50% of your company into NFTs, break it into small pieces and go out there to the marketplace and say, hey, invest in my company. And then the dividends that come from the company in terms of the profits are then redistributed back through to the NFT holders.
Yeah, if you did that route, you would be definitely trading securities. So there's going to be a lot of regulatory issues.
there is that slight concern.
So you have to do it a little bit more sneaky than that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, again, that's where, to me, I think, the real world's got to catch up with this eventually, I guess.
Oh, shit, yeah. Mate, the governments, they have a long way to catch up, but they need to do it because the real world needs to do it. The government's going to get a nasty slap in the face over the next couple of years because there's projects that are literally just printing money. Like, you just, instead of the central bank adding some zeros, there's this little 19-year-old genius coder who's adding some zeros, and now suddenly there's more of that coin out there. There's a lot of things that need to be caught up, and as governments are losing control, they need to get on top of it.
Obviously, you mentioned NFTs and games earlier on, and I think for most people, being able to buy a unique item and play it within a game. Most people who understand games, whether they play World of Warcraft or Call of Duty or whatever it is, most people could understand how that translates. But explain to me kind of where you see, I mean, everyone's talking about the metaverse as well. You know, explain to me how a small business can take advantage of those kind of things. Buying houses is great and architects' drawings is great, but you know, the average business on the street, when people throw the words like NFT and metaverse to them, how's that going to potentially change their business?
If you're talking a brick and mortar business, it's going to be a long time until the metaverse affects them. But okay. NFTs, the simplest use case that I like is as a VIP card. So yeah. You can use them as access into clubs, into specific items, getting discounts, getting whatever benefits you want this NFT to get. You can layer on all these VIP benefits, and then you can make them openly tradable on wherever, right? It's NFTs, you can trade them anywhere. But then also they could open up this, like, the NFT will give you specific access into some online forums or some online realm or some online sharing place. Maybe it gives you access to, like, there's some NFTs which will give you access to specific crypto communities which give you best call outs for the cryptos before they pump. You might get a tip an hour before they pump because you hold this $500,000 Bored Ape NFT.
Yeah.
So you might start applying that to, I don't know how you would, but pizza shops, maybe they can have, you get first access to whatever, 10 minutes before the pizza shop opens, you don't have to wait in line for 20 minutes. Or you get extra pineapple on your pizza for free if you have this Bored Pizza NFT.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think Gary V uses the pizza analogy as well, because, you know, he was saying you might have one gold NFT for a pizza shop and that person gets 50% off the pizza for the rest of their life.
Yeah.
And if they decide that they're going to move house, then the benefit being is that they can then trade that with someone else who's living in the local area, and that NFT continues to live on. And I think the other thing is, and again, correct me if I'm wrong, every time that NFT is traded, you can actually build in a mechanism so that the original business owner gets a cut of the transaction fee.
Yeah, so you can OpenSea, by default, you can add up to 10% that gets kicked back to the original creator. OpenSea, for those who don't know, is the largest NFT marketplace currently that exists.
And if I'm out there wanting to build an NFT, you know, obviously you mentioned Bitcoin, you mentioned Ethereum. Obviously, you can't build on Bitcoin, but you can obviously build on Ethereum. There's different blockchains out there, isn't there, that you can build this on. What would be the top ones? And if you were doing this tomorrow, what would you be building on?
If I was a project that was looking to just sell stuff for the highest prices possible and budget wasn't a concern, I would be doing Ethereum.
Okay.
And that's simply because all the big dogs and the big dick waivers, they're all on Ethereum.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm allowed to say that on here.
No, go for it, yeah.
But they will spend the most without thinking. So Ethereum, you'll sell NFTs. Like Gary V, his V friends, they've sold $130 million worth of NFTs.
It's insane.
It's stupid.
Yeah.
And he's on Ethereum. So I think the cheapest floor price for one of his shitty little cartoons is $50,000 because it's on Ethereum. If you were to do that on something like Algorand or Polygon, you can also build NFTs on those two networks. You would get a fraction of that.
Yeah.
The transaction fees wouldn't be $200, $300 like on Ethereum.
Yeah.
They might be 20 cents, but you wouldn't be able to command the same prices.
What about Solana?
Yeah, Solana's great. I like Solana. You could build it on Solana, but again, Solana's probably will give you better prices than Algorand will, but Solana's nothing beats Ethereum.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just that. Yeah. Ethereum fees make you feel like somebody's trying to bend you over and treat you not very nice. The last one I wanted to talk about is the gaming one. I saw, and this is perhaps more of a comment than a question, but I'd be interested in your thoughts as to see whether you think this is a typical, or there's going to be more of these and people should watch out for this. Stephen Curry, I'm not a basketball fan, but my understanding is Stephen Curry is quite a famous basketballer. Just before Christmas, or maybe it was just after Christmas, I can't remember, he released something like 2,300 special NFT pairs of basketball trainers. And they sold. And annoyingly, I was looking at the page when it was announced because I was on the email news list. I was looking at the page and they were selling these NFT trainers for $333 each, right? And there were 2,300 pairs of them. And it was done in conjunction with Gala Games, who someone I've invested in. 24 hours later, I mean, literally they sold out in 5 minutes. 24 hours later, these shoes, these trainers were on OpenSea for around about $20,000, $30,000 right? Crazy. And in fact, one pair peaked. I believe the peak sales price was, I actually shared it earlier on, I think 19, was it 19 Ethereum? Yeah, 19 wow. Ethereum was the peak sale price. So bear in mind, Ethereum is what, 3.5? I don't know what Ethereum is down. 3,300 at the moment, US. So, you know, that's a lot of money. Is that an opportunity for brands and people to be going out and doing those kind of partnerships? And is that a sign of what this is going to look like in the future?
Oh, I would do it ASAP if I was sitting on the sidelines thinking, shit, should I do something? Their answer is yes. Go all in quickly. There's going to be a market equilibrium that will happen eventually. Like not every project can just print stupid amounts of money forever. That's not sustainable. Maybe it lasts another year, maybe it lasts another 2 years, but I don't think it'll last much longer than that. With being able to sell out crazy, like going from $300 to $20,000, $90,000 even, is ridiculous. Yeah. So that will probably still occur with very famous brands and very famous things that would have sold out something anyway.
Yeah.
You'd still sell out in NFTs. But for the average Joe, it's going to be a lot harder. So I'd be doing it very soon.
Yeah.
And it'll equalize a little bit as well. So even the big brands, they'll get less multiples, but they'll still get very, very high multiples.
Yeah. I mean, pizza shops aren't going to be getting $90,000 for their NFTs, but, you know, it's...
Well, if someone could do it, I'd be happy to
say it. Maybe. Yeah. So in terms of, you know, and probably the last question I've got for you today, which probably should have been one of the first questions, how hard is it to create an NFT? Because, you know, I've worked and tried to create, not me personally, but, you know, tokens and things like that and learning Solidity and all that kind of stuff. For anyone that isn't a programmer, you just look at it and it's, you know, someone who might as well be talking Chinese to you. Mm. How hard is it for a business to be going out there and creating NFTs?
It's hard to learn it, but once you learn it, it's really easy. Like you could probably learn it really if you find a good video in an hour.
Okay.
And then you just mint it on OpenSea. Once you've figured out which buttons to click, you can do it in 5 minutes if you want.
Right.
You just go to OpenSea and then you just upload. They have a little mint function in there, so it's built in there. So I can just upload my image into OpenSea and then say the price, say whatever, fill in the variables, and then press mint. It'll charge, it'll connect my wallet. If you don't have a MetaMask wallet already and you haven't figured out how to use decentralized wallets already, then that's going to take you a lot longer.
Yeah, that's a bit longer to it, yeah.
So if you're someone off the street who's never even touched crypto, then your learning curve is going to be much higher.
Yeah.
But once you've got your MetaMask wallet set up, all you need to do is go into, and assuming you have some Ethereum in your MetaMask, or some Matic from Polygon Network, you just go into OpenSea, you can do it in 10 minutes.
Okay.
It's very easy.
Mate, thank you for everything you've imparted on us today. It's been extremely useful. I guess probably the last question I do have for you before we sort of sign off is, and I want to stress to everybody that this is not financial advice. what do you see as the big, maybe we ask this rather than what you're holding or what you're buying, what you see as the big perhaps networks or, you know, tokens out there for 2022?
Good question. I have been looking for those myself in 2022. I think that buying layer one and layer two solutions will, meaning the networks themselves, the gas, the things you pay gas for, like Ethereum, like Polygon, Algorand. There's a few newer ones coming out. I think Phantom.
A lot of people talking about FTM, Phantom.
Try to find some, if you just go to CoinMarketCap, try to find layer one and layer two solutions that are, say, less than a $5 billion market cap and look into those because they're going to get the best multiples. If it's already $100 billion, it's going to be hard. I'd be looking at those. And then those ones, the reason that I prefer to buy networks instead of a specific project is because it's easy for one specific project to fail. But for a network to fail, every project on that network would need to fail. I would be looking at ones that have big funds as well. Like Algorand, I think, has a $100 billion fund, or maybe it's 200, maybe it's 20 billion, 200 billion, or 100 million, 200 million.
Lots
some
of money.
Some number that's
way.
Massive, yeah. right? Algorand has. Avalanche also has one that's like 100 billion or something stupid.
Yeah.
Harmony has one, and again, that's something stupid. So I'd be looking for these networks that have stupid, ridiculous funds, and these funds are for paying projects that come to them. So they'll start attracting big projects that have big communities, and they will eventually be able to pump the token as that project pumps as well. So look for the ones that have big funds.
I guess my shameless plug for anyone that's listening to this, I've been with Gala Games. I invested in Gala Games probably about 11 months ago when it was absolutely a tiny time. I've done really, really well out of that. Hugely bullish on them. They've got some amazing games coming out. One, they're partnering with the Walking Dead franchise as well. So that's huge. HBAR is another one, Hedera Hashgraph, which everyone is talking about. That's quite interesting because it's not really decentralized. Apparently it's a centrally run network. And then two of the smaller ones, Metis DAO, M-E-T-I-S, which a lot of people are starting to look at to build on now, and Graphene, which was a really small one that I found last week, G-R-A-P-H-E-N-E, which I think is a layer one solution. So again, none of that is financial advice. That's just opinion. But mate, look, thank you very much for your time today. You are obviously doing huge things out there in the NFT space and the blockchain space. And I suspect, you know, we'll see you driving about in your Lamborghini soon. If you're not already driving about in your Lamborghini, you know, or your brand new, another Lamborghini. But,
My yellow one instead of my red one.
Yeah, exactly. You know, just, you know, whatever mood you feel in a particular day. So
the other ones to look out for is our one that will come out soon, DeFi Wonderland.
Right. Well, we're definitely all in on that one, mate.
Not to be confused with Wonderland. There's Wonderland Time.
That's another gaming one. So, mate, if anyone wants to reach out to you, where's the best place to find you? I found you on LinkedIn, but where else do you hang out?
Yeah, LinkedIn's good. I would suggest YouTube is probably where I am the most responsive because I'm trying to build that the most. So it's just Riley James. And then from there, you can find all my links on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter.
I'll get that link from you for your YouTube video where you do the use cases, the business use cases.
Yeah.
And we'll put that in our show notes and share that out with everybody as well to get them to look at that after they've watched this. So look, once again, mate, thank you very much for your time. Really appreciate it. And have a good weekend.
Awesome. Thanks, Simon. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in.
That's pretty much it from the CMO Marketing Podcast for this week. We hope you enjoyed it, and we look forward to seeing you tune in next week.